people are probably going to be wondering, you know, who do we have on the show here today? Well, I have a clip that I actually was going to play right after the break here, but it was still, or I mean, not after the break, right after the intro music, but it was still loading. So, of course, you know, now it's fine and able to be played, but I actually have two clips of who we were going to have on the show tonight. And, you know, yes, it is a wrestling show. Obviously, as you know by this point, I mean, it's pretty well established now. But, you know, this is a sports station, and, you know, we are sports fans, you know. And we actually
we have went
above and beyond to get somebody who is a sports, I don't necessarily want to say legend or icon, but his father was. And, you know, we will talk to him a little bit about, you know, growing up as the son of a, you know, son of a Hall of Famer who set a trend in the baseball world.
Who should be Hall of
Famer. Well, his what?
His father should be in the Hall of Fame, but he is not in the Hall of Fame.
No, I know. Not yet. But that's why I said a Hall of Famer, like, because, I mean, it's going to happen. He's going to be. I don't know when, but he will be. So here's the first of the two clips. The second one I will save for when he calls in. But if you don't know who it is, you will now.
Fastball is wide. It lays off of it. Ball one. Low. Ball two. The crowd is reacting negatively. They want to see Maris get something he can swing on. There it is. $5,000, and here is the fellow with 61. You're seeing a lot today.
Know by now, you will. Roger Maris' son is coming on with us today. Now that, what I just played, was the television call from 1961. The one that's a little bit more dramatic and a little bit more exciting, to be honest with you, is the one I'm going to play right before he calls in with us. And that's going to be, you know, saved till then for surprise, you know, reasons.
The call was by Phil Rizzuto of.
That's the one I have. That's the one I have for him. The one that I just played was by Red Barber.
Right, and the record of 61 home runs is 56 years old. Yesterday, I was broken October 1st. Now the thing is, everybody says yes, the record has been broken, but technically, Roger still is the only American League batter to hit 61 home runs legitimately with no performance-enhancing paraphernalia of any kind. Roger Maris.
Well, true. But, I mean, in the record books, it has still been broken. But, yes, he is the only American League batter and the only Yankee ever to do it. So that's always something. And, you know, it's unfortunate because, And when I say unfortunate, not that he broke it, but that he's not in the Hall of Fame, because, you know, obviously somebody who transcended the game the way that he did and did something that nobody even thought was possible back then, now, you know, is looking at the Hall of Fame, you know, waiting, and the family is waiting to have his name called. And, you know, they're putting guys in the Hall of Fame now with asterisks next to their names due to the performance-enhancing supplements that you just mentioned. But Roger is still – Roger's family still waiting to have his name called. So it is kind of an unfortunate situation there. But, you know, such is life. You know, not too much you can do about that. So we do have him coming on at around 9:55 your time, 10:55 Eastern Standard Time. But who's coming in before that?
Well, we have gentleman Jake O'Brien with us, and he is going to be joining us. So in about less than 25 minutes or so,
mm-hmm.
We had a couple other guests scheduled, but due to some issues beyond their control, they were not able to join us tonight, but we will get them rescheduled.
You did reschedule. Okay. All right. Well, good. I thought it was something like they just canceled and we're not going to hear from them, but at least you're able to get them rescheduled, so that's good.
Right. And then, of course, as everybody knows, next week is going to be Attitude Era presents Tag Team Turmoil.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we have, as you know, we had the Baltimore Blondes on with us, and
I do remember that. That was a great interview, great chat with them.
Yeah, their opponents that took the belts from them, High Voltage, they were on with us the next week. Now, apparently, those particular teams did not like the fact that one said one thing about them and the other team said something about the other team, and they all individually listened to the show, and they called they didn't call me up. They messaged me and said, "Icon, why can you not set it up so that all of us can be on the show at one time?" And I says, "I can't." And I said, "Guess what? I will." And they'll be on. We actually have three guests on with us next week. We have James Hamby on at 10:25. And we also have a special wrestler on with us, Brick House Brown. He'll be on at 9:25. He is battling stage 4 prostate cancer, and he's trying to get. He was given 2 years to live, and he's a former WWE wrestler, and he has a GoFundMe account that he is trying to raise money to help pay for his cancer treatments. And he had contacted me and asked if he could come on to the show and talk about it. And I said that would not be a problem.
Yeah.
Usually we only have two guests on, but I had to make an exception at this point to help out Brickhouse Brown. So he'll be joining us next week.
No problem.
As well.
No problem. And, you know, definitely would like to get, you know, get that going, get him funded, and you know, get some of our listeners to pitch in and donate to him because, you know, it is for a good cause. I mean, I know it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but still, it's Cancer Awareness in General Month. As you see WWE doing the whole pink rope thing right now, the Conor's Cure thing. So, you know, it's definitely the correct month to, you know, to have somebody like this on. So definitely, it's inconvenient to have three guests, but definitely for a good cause, and definitely something that, you know, we can get behind and do well. So you mentioned last week you didn't get a chance to watch No Mercy because you were on the road with the Bison's women volleyball team. Did you get a chance to watch it since?
I still have not got to watch it because I need to get my internet fixed.
Okay. All right. Are you watching Raw tonight?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What do you think of that so far?
I don't watch Raw on the internet. I watch it on cable.
Yeah. So what do you think of tonight's Raw?
Here's what I think. The Shield reunion keeps getting teased, and is there any doubt now that it's going to happen? Highly unlikely. We know it's going to happen, you know. And
well,
I cannot wait.
Well, yes. I mean, Miz came out to the old Shield entrance through the crowd, which was sort of a slap in the face. But now they have the protagonist and, you know, and the antagonist. And as we mentioned before, I mean, did we not say it was probably going to be Sheamus and Cesaro or it was going to be Miz and his goons? So, I mean, now the stage is set. I mean, they've got they've got the common enemy now. So, you know, it would be I think it would be a ratings boost, one that they desperately need to bring the Shield back. And, you know, I really honestly thought that Roman was going to take the belt from Miz tonight, but, you know, Miz got a little help. Yeah, Miz got a little help from people unexpected. And yeah, I don't think that they I don't think that they cannot bring the Shield back now. I think they could, they almost have to at this point.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, Miz's theme song should be, "I buy a little help from my friends." You know,
it should be Joe Cocker.
Yeah, instead of this awesome BS. Now, here's the thing. Yes, Miz is a heel, but I don't dislike him. You know, I don't. But, and we're not going to get into it again because, you know, I've already made my peace with it and everybody knows how I feel about it. But Kevin Owens, I hate the bastard. You know, I just hate him.
You do.
So,
you do.
And
you made that very public as well.
Yeah, and if I ever saw him face to face, I'd slap the taste right out of his mouth. I would. And I don't care what repercussions would come to me because he deserves it.
All right. Fair enough. And Shane McMahon is going to get his chance to do just the same at Hell in a Cell coming up,
yeah.
You know, which I know a lot of people aren't super thrilled about because, I mean, this is the same old same. I mean, this is Shane McMahon in a hardcore match again. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, we know what's going to happen. He's going to go flying off the cage through the table. He's going to do some daring stunt. You know, a lot of people thought it maybe should be somebody else representing Shane. Or taking Shane's place, but it doesn't look right now like that's going to be the case. So, it looks like it's going to be Shane versus your buddy there, TKO.
Yeah, now, I'll tell you what, they're kind of talking about this feud between Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt. What is your opinion on this?
Well, I mean, it seems to me a little rushed, and I say that because it seems like, and I don't know if you picked up on this trend, but it seems like Bray Wyatt is in a different feud almost every week. It seems like he's always going after somebody for his own, you know, his own reasons. He has, you know, they set up the reasons behind the verbal attacks to be, you know, pretty well, but it just seems like there's no long-standing, exciting, edge-of-your-seat type of rivalry with these two. It's to me, you know, just another guy that Bray's beefing with. You know, it seems like he picks people, and then they don't stay on the storyline for long enough. That kind of fizzles out. The other wrestler goes and does their own thing, and Bray picks a new victim. And so, you know, I kind of want to see one of those long-standing you know, rivalries that we became so used to throughout the years with somebody. I mean, I don't care who it is. I just want Bray Wyatt to, you know, to be in a feud for more than 2 weeks.
Well, you know, I'll tell you. And I was thinking about this, and I cannot believe I'm going to say it, okay? And it'll blow you away. I know. It'll blow our fans away as well. But there is one wrestler that I would like to see come back and take on Bray Wyatt.
Who's that?
Edge.
Are you serious?
I am serious. I've been thinking about this what? For the last couple. I would love.
Dude,
to see
I would have to get a new change of pants if I ever heard.
You think you know me?
If I ever heard that, I would have to, like I said, I probably wouldn't be able to soak in the moment because I'd be too busy trying to find a different pair of pants to wear. Why would you want Edge to come back? I mean, I would love that, but why would you want Edge to come back?
Well, because he has got what I would say the best ring experience to take on what Bray Wyatt could throw at him.
He's also got the most serious neck injury. So, I mean, there's that, too.
Right, and there's just...
I mean, basically, when Edge retired in 2011, he said to the crowd, the doctors had told him that if he kept going for much longer, there was a chance he'd be a paraplegic or worse. I mean, he said, listen, the doctors have said I could do permanent irreversible damage to myself if I continue this. And, that's what happens with the spear. You have a couple of missed spears and, your neck crunches and it happens. I would love it. I just would not like, the possibility of any mistake happening and having Edge, end up as Stephen Hawking for the rest of his life. You know what I mean?
Or draws, yeah.
No, yeah, either one.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Let me put on my point about Finn Balor now. He had to forfeit the Universal title. Okay?
He did.
And he didn't lose it to anybody. He had to forfeit it. He deserves to be champion again. Not necessarily Universal title right away, but why are they having him go against Bray Wyatt? Why are they not putting him in line for a title, like the Intercontinental Championship? He was an injury robbed him of his potential.
True, and with Seth Rollins had that injury, and they put Rollins right back in the title picture again. So, who knows? There's got to be a lot of, closed door and backstage politics going on regarding it. I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. But they also might not think that, Finn Balor is ready. I mean, the champion right now is Brock Lesnar, and it looks like the next champion after him is probably going to be Braun Strowman. So I just don't think that they think, well, those super heavyweights are champion that Finn Balor can hang. I mean, remember, when he got hurt against Seth Rollins, who might even be smaller than he is, body style-wise.
Well,
just imagine what would happen against a guy like Lesnar or Strowman.
Yeah, well, here's the point about that. Now, I think you're right that Braun Strowman is next up for the championship. But here's the thing, though. With Braun Strowman as champion, okay, it will be defended more than once every 3 freaking months, which it has been now.
That's true.
It seems like it.
That's
but
true.
The thing is, do they want to give
it's every pay-per-view. It's not every 3 months. It's every pay-per-view. But, yeah, I get your point.
Well, do they want to give it to another big muscular guy that can't be beaten?
Well, yes, if they really want to put Finn Balor over. I mean, he's already pretty over with the fans. I mean, he's you look at his entrance and it's the Raw version of Nakamura, but I think it would do wonders for his career if. If it were Finn Balor who was able to beat Braun Strowman and win the belt, I think that would really be, one notch on that belt and one step closer to you know, stardom and being elite for him.
I mean, you know, it's like, you know, one thing that, you know, over the next couple weeks, you know, and I do apologize, but I shouldn't apologize for what we've accomplished on our show with all these guests. See, here's the thing, and I know I've said this before, but I'll just reiterate it. It used to be tough to get guests on the show. You know, it started out with just one, and then it went to two, then sometimes three. But the thing is, it used to be tough to get them. Now, our show is getting that much more traction. They're contacting me because they want to get exposure on our show. They don't call any other podcasts. And there is other wrestling podcasts out there. We know this. But
well, of course, there's plenty of them.
Yeah, but apparently we're getting that much more traction than anybody else because of what we offer, our content, what we talk about, the stuff we let our guests do and talk about, have free reign. It's no other podcast. Look, no other podcast also gives every one of their guests a free collector's card to use. No one else does that. We're the only one that does that, you know?
I mean, that is true, but I mean, do you have actual backing evidence that they're not calling anybody else? Because, I mean, who knows? They could do three or four podcasts a day, you know? So, I mean, you never know.
True, true. And, I do ask them, what other podcasts have you done? You know, what other podcasts have you been, you know? I mean, sure, they've done radio interviews, you know? But you know how many first-time podcasters we've had on our show? Many. Many.
Oh, yeah, for
and,
sure.
You know, and they tell other people how much fun they have on the show, and then they talk about how much, you know, we get for them, and then they tell other people, then those people come on the show, and then they tell more people. And then we get more people that want to be part of this. It's awesome, you know.
I'm definitely with it. I have a lot of fun with the underground guys, and even with the former WWE guys or WCW guys. You know, I certainly have a good time talking to them and getting to know them a little bit. And I think getting their exposure out there, plugging their websites or plugging their YouTube. Is pretty good exposure for these guys. So, you know, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to know that that's the case, that they enjoy it so much. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy, so I like that.
You know, the only thing I do wish, though, and our guest should be calling in shortly, the one thing I do wish, though, is that the WWE didn't have all their rules in place to have actual current wrestlers come on our show, you know? I mean,
it makes sense, though. I know why they do it. It makes total sense.
Yeah. But you have to jump through more hoops than the three-ring circus to get a wrestler on our show from the current WWE, you know? And it's just amazing how interesting the boss looks as she comes out. I mean, I know you're an Alexa Bliss fan, but it's just that
big time.
There's something I like about the boss that, you know, that's great.
Sasha, you like the dark meat, huh?
I do, you know.
How about Bailey? What's your thoughts on her? Bailey strikes me as an oversized. Well, she strikes me as an oversized child. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the. Yeah, she might look good, but the personality's not attractive to me. She's just too goofy. You know, she just is literally okay, and to each their own. But Bailey is, you know, to me, just, you know, a 27-year-old middle schooler is really what she is. So, but our guest is on with us, so I'm going to step away for 1 second. We'll continue this discussion, but I will let you introduce him, get the first couple questions in. I just got to step in the hallway for 1 second. But here he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, out of the green room and walking down that aisle, we have our first combatant of the night. He puts the O in O'Brien, ladies and gentlemen. He is a gentleman, a scholar, and a wrestling champion. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I give you, gentlemen, Jake O'Brien. Hey, man, what's going on?
Not much. Appreciate you guys having me on this.
Yeah, now tell me, is that not the best introduction you've ever had?
Close. There's a local announcer here named Tuck Davian, the guy with the bow tie, and he's got one for me that it's hard to rival. Basically, he hails from the Badlands. He lives, he walks, he conquers. Is he man or monster, or is he both? And but yours is right up there, man. Yours is right up there.
Awesome. I appreciate that. So I'm like 101 for 100. I'm 101 out of 102. So there's only one person that that complained about my entrance and said he had better. So I hung up on him.
Yours was solid, man. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for that intro.
Awesome. So we'll introduce you to our fans. Tell us who you are and who you are currently wrestling for.
My name is Jake O'Brien. I'm currently wrestling for Mid-South Wrestling Alliance out of Oklahoma City, and I'm also part of the Lucha Americana roster. Though the center of that is in Oklahoma City. I've done shows up in Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska for it, and we're about to have another one. So this one will be local, and it'll be Oklahoma City on November 4th. Those are the two promotions I'm with right now. I've been with a variety of promotions over the last 6 to 7 years, though.
So how long have you been with Mid-South?
With Mid-South Wrestling Alliance, I want to say at least 2 years, going on 3.
Are they your longest tenured company?
I'm kind of a nomad. I kind of hit about two to three years most places and then kind of move on. Not my longest. That would probably have been with a promotion I started with when I first got into wrestling. That was with Steel Rage Pro Wrestling. That was from about 2010 to 2013, so I'll say 3 years. So it's coming close.
All right. So you're basically go to a territory, raise their stock for the 3 years that you're there, and then you move on to another one and raise their stock and move on to another one, and then you become top promotions because you were with them.
That's one way to put it. I've done that with two, and maybe with Mid-South we'll do it with a third one. Definitely come into a place. Heavyweight championships or the main championship seems to gravitate towards my waist. Held one company's belt for well over a year. Definitely left my mark on that company, and when it was time to move on, fate takes its course, and try to move on to something either bigger, better, or just something new to experience to better your career and to better yourself.
Okay. Well, I have a couple more questions, and Chris always has some. He has the hard nosed questions for you. So, do you have any title shots coming up you're going to be winning?
Any title shots coming up soon? I do have the first defense of the Mid-South Wrestling Alliance tag team titles coming up on October 20th here in Oklahoma City at Plaza Mayor, also known as Crossroads Mall, located on 7000 North Boulevard. And doors open at 6:30, shows start at 7. And I'll be defending the tag team titles with my tag team partner, O'Malley. And we are known as the Omega. And it'll be our first title defense as we just picked those up 2 weekends ago. And actually, that's 7,000 Crossroads Boulevard. My apologies.
Now, the cool thing is, if you win the title, well, you already won the title. The cool thing is,
yeah,
every guest that we've had on that has been going for a title or going to defend the titles have never lost the titles. We are officially now 22-0. So you're going to make it 23 for us.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'll definitely let you guys know the results of that. But we were waiting a long time for our opportunity to win them, and it's going to take a very, good tag team to take them off of us. As myself, I'm 260 and over 6 foot. My tag partner, a little shorter than 6 foot, but he weighs in about 400 pounds. So,
oh wow,
we're well over the 600 pound tag team range. Definitely a tag team in the mindset of either like the Miracle Violence Connection of Terry Gordy and Dr. Dusty Williams, or the Road Warriors with Hawk and Animal, or more currently kind of War Machine-ish of Hanson and Raymond Rowe.
So do they have to reinforce the ring when you guys wrestle?
No, the rings are usually pretty well built around here. It's just, man, when he gets tagged in, it's basically trying to stop a locomotive. And he cleans house. So I have probably one of the best tag team partners I could ever ask for.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you guys ever need a manager, I'm available.
I'll have to ask O'Malley. We don't make any decisions independently. We make everything coherently, like every tag team should do. So I'll run it by him and see what he says, man.
Okay, cool. So now my tag team partner, Chris, has got some great questions he's going to ask. I'll step away here for a little bit, and I'll let him ask away, then I'll come on back.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's not exactly hard-nosed, as Icon said before, but it's, I guess, an interesting question, at least to me. Every kid growing up, watching professional wrestling wants to do it. I mean, I did. Everybody does, but very few actually get into that field. Either the interest wanes or they end up doing something else. How did you end up getting involved in professional wrestling? And did you have any inspirations or any, idols looking up to that sort of steered you in that direction?
Man, if you want to go from the idol question first, probably
okay.
My guy since I've been a kid was The Undertaker.
Oh, beautiful. That's a good one.
So, I mean, I saw him back, when he was still with the, I guess you would say mostly the funeral gimmick, the more character-based Undertaker. And
the purple gloves and all that with the hat. And yeah.
Purple gloves, the hat, Paul Bearer at ringside with the urn,
the tie,
still being...
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, very tied to his gimmick, and just caught my eye there. And you as you said, when you're a kid, you kind of grow up, and I guess I never really did because I stayed a wrestling fan. And when I turned 16 and a half, I had an opportunity to basically start my training with a local company. I really wanted to do it because before I got into wrestling, I had been playing football, and that's a pretty easy transition, sports-wise. But I also was in speech and debate, and I liked performing in front of, an audience and being judged on it. And so it kind of just naturally combined both of my extracurricular activities in school and combining it with my love of it just from growing up watching it. And I've been in it off and on ever since. That's well over 12 years ago. Because in Oklahoma, you have to be over 18 to legally wrestle because the state athletic commission regulates it here. So I kind of sit on the sidelines. But it was actually beneficial for me not to really get started full time until about, let's say about 6 to 7 years ago.
Yeah, that's actually good to know because we spoke to a girl, Icon. Remember, we spoke to a girl, a couple months ago at this point, whose father had gotten her into it, and she's only 14. She lives out in Vegas. And you know, out there, I mean, Vegas is, you know, anything goes in Vegas. That's interesting that you had the opportunity at 16, 16 and a half, but had to wait to 18. That's pretty interesting because in a lot of situations like that, a lot of guys would have been like, all right, I'm going to do something else. I can't do it till I'm 18. And, you know, and then you end up doing something else and you forget about it. So it's good you stuck with it for you know, that long of a time where you had to wait.
Is that law a safety thing or is that just the way it is?
It's a safety thing. I mean, the Athletic Commission regulates boxing, mixed martial arts on top of professional wrestling. You know, opinion here on it split. Some see the validity of it. Some believe that, you know, they overextend their reach into, you know, what if professional wrestling is, especially when it comes to the age thing. I think that would be a safety. 18 years old, you're kind of physically developed to where I think it's the most physically, and I don't say it's definitely not your peak, but it's where that first level of like, okay, it's safe enough for you to go into. But also I think it just comes down to maybe some regulations and insurance and stuff like that, but that kind of falls out of my jurisdiction.
So when you
do any other sports in high school? Oh, sorry, Ryan.
No, I'm sorry, I couldn't.
So did you do any other sports while you were in high school?
I played football, weightlifted. I went to a really small school here in Oklahoma. I graduated with like 36 people. So we didn't have wrestling, like either freestyle or Greco-Roman. So the closest thing I could get to it, you know, the physicality was football. And in the long run, actually getting into wrestling at that age made me a better football player. Definitely for my junior and senior year.
Well, that's interesting, you know, because, you know, I mean, it's the difference in, the size of the class. My graduating class has 475 students.
Yeah, not even close. Yeah, we're not even close where I graduated from. There's schools here that have that many in their graduating class. They're more around the larger towns, Tulsa, Oklahoma City. But I'm from a small town called Mounds, and the population's under like 1,000. And I graduated, like I said, with 36 people. Very much a rural upbringing, almost borderline country. Because I can at least say the first half of my life, I mean, I was on and off the farm. Not from the sense of like living on it and having to raise it, but my family owned them, so I was around them. And so I come from a very small townish, rural type area of Oklahoma.
So, when you wrestle, would you say that you're a baby face, a heel, or an in betweeny?
I tend to lean more towards a heel, a rule breaker, a little bit more on the vicious side of things. It kind of just comes with the size. But, you know, I can do both in the ring. Whatever the situation calls, you never know when you're deep in a match, when the crowd may be behind you, and you gotta sometimes use them, and then there's sometimes you may be in a match and your mind's set to ignore them and focus on the victory ahead. And sometimes that requires, you know, breaking a few rules.
Well, you know, hey, sometimes, you know, you just got to, you know, if, you know, you always got to one-up your opponent, and any way that you can take the victory, you got to do that. I mean, it's just, it, you know, it's in the territory, you know.
Exactly.
So we
sometimes,
about,
you know, go ahead.
Yeah, we have about 14 minutes here left with you. So we're going to do do a few things here, and then we got a few other cool questions for you. But one thing that we do with all our guests, we have them cut a little radio liner promo for us. And you and I kind of discussed that a little bit. And so basically you'll say your name, and you're listening to the Attitude Era Live with the Icon and the Big Swing. And then if you want to add any other little thing to it, you can. Touchdown from five. And then we have to do a couple takes. We'll do that.
All right, well,
see what
yeah. Now, let me make sure. Is it the Big Swing?
The Big Swing.
Big Swing?
And the, yep, yep.
Okay, so it's like the move. Okay.
All right. All right, here we go. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is O'Brien, and you're listening to the Attitude Era podcast with the Icon and the Big Swing and the Conqueror. O'Brien.
I like that. That's awesome. That works. Did you, okay, Chris, you get that one?
I did.
All right. Now, I have a, you know, you mentioned the Conqueror, but I was kind of, you know, I was kind of wondering, you know, sometimes on some of your promo pictures, as I was researching you, it says Gentleman O'Brien. Where does that come from? Or is that was that an old promo thing?
Yeah, I stopped really going by the Gentleman. I want to say about October of last year. Transitioned from the character that you saw in, you know, a top hat or a bowler hat with a cane and a pinky up, to being more of just who I really am and what I really am, embracing my size, embracing my strength, embracing just the natural fierceness of my look. The Gentleman thing came from, ironically, the moniker was I was trying to help a girl carry a toad at a show, and a guy says, "Stop being such a gentleman, Jake." And this was at a point in time when I really didn't have a character. And it kind of fit who I am, in the sense that I'm, as your intro, you know, exclaimed, you know, scholarly, very much in the sense of proper etiquette, and maybe in a sense like, oh, I don't want to use the word gentlemanly because that just seems like punching it on the nose, but, well-versed in manners.
Yeah,
and,
well, what's interesting about that, you know, you were the gentleman, Jake O'Brien. And then, and then you decided to step away from that, and then Jake Galper decided to steal your gimmick.
Gentleman Jack Gallagher?
Yeah.
I think it was honestly one of those things where he was doing it on the other side of the pond, and you know, you can say great minds think alike. If you look at him and you look at me, there's definitely a big height difference and a big weight difference, but we're both characteristically redheads or genders. There was a lot of mannerisms that he did that I did, with me not really seeing any of his work until he got into the Cruiserweight Classic. And it wasn't really seeing him that made me decide to change on what I wanted to be or who I really was. It was Brutal Bob Evans from Ring of Honor that kind of saw it in me and was like, you need to drop, you know, the gentleman shtick and just be yourself. And that was told to me about a year ago. And so at first it was a slow transition, but I definitely morphed into more now as just being O'Brien. That was both a physical change of moving from tights to trunks, and then it's also just a mental change from being a stand-up, follow-the-rules kind of guy into being this ferocious, vicious beast in the ring, because it allows me to free that side of me that I've kept away.
Well, you know, and the other thing I like about
well,
your
it does make sense. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, the one thing I like about your particular persona is when you go to the ring, you don't have trunks that look like food straight gum, you know?
Yeah.
That's
well,
yeah.
No, but it does make sense. If you are going the heel route, gentlemen, you know, really wouldn't make sense. I mean, Jack Gallagher is about as face as you can get in the 205 Live, and, you know, so the gimmick, I think, works for him. So if you're, you know, using the power and the size and the brute strength and the, you know, you're going that route, leaning towards heel, I definitely like, you know, the angle that you're going with now a little better.
Yeah, so we have gentlemen, I'm sorry, we have the Conqueror, Jake O'Brien, with us right now, and we're going to, we have a few more minutes with him. So tell our fans that are listening where guys like us could see a guy like you wrestle in a town like this. Are you on Instagram, Twitter? How can we keep track of you?
First would be my Facebook. I have a general profile. It's Jake O'Brien. Right now you'll see a black and white picture of me from our last show for Mid-South Wrestling. I do see that I still have the Gentleman Jake banner, but I'm going to actually change that right now to a banner that I was given a few months ago for my tag team, but I think it will work just as well for me. It'll be a skull inside of an Omega symbol. So if you come across that profile, there's me. I also have a page. Once again, it's Jake O'Brien. You'll see in the banner me and my tag partner, O'Malley, and another black and white picture of me actually holding the Mid-South tag team title above me. I have a Twitter. That is at Jake O'Brien 007. One, it just kind of fits, or it fit when I was doing the gentleman gimmick, at least in my mind. But also, that's the year, 2007, is when I had my first match, and it actually ended up being my first match and only match for about 3 years because I realized I wasn't ready. So you can follow me on there at Jake O'Brien 007 or 007. And I don't have an Instagram quite yet. I've been on the borderline on setting that up, but all signs are pointing that I'll probably get that set up here shortly. And you'll be able to see where that one, I'll definitely be posting and promoting that once it's up on my Facebook profile, my Facebook page, and my Twitter. And you can look up some of my matches on YouTube. You'll need to type in Jake O'Brien Pro Wrestler. I wasn't quite aware when I started wrestling that there was a Jake O'Brien MMA fighter. But he's retired now, and honestly, I think I could probably take him, especially with some of the fights I saw him in. So,
and you're a nicer guy anyway.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And
that's
probably
why he's retired then.
Right, exactly, because he knew you were coming for him. Now, the other thing is, you were made a cool collector's card for your appearance on the show, and hopefully you'll put that on your Facebook page too and give some kudos to us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I apologize for not sharing it already. Today's just been kind of hectic.
Oh, it's okay.
But I'll definitely get it out there. And, I mean, I tweeted out that I was going to be on here about 3 hours ago and got a good little response on my Facebook because I tie them into my Twitter. So hopefully a few of my fans and a few of my friends are out there listening right now. Definitely be putting you guys as we say over when this is all said and done. You guys have been great hosts and very hospitable towards me in what is really only about my third podcast, so or third type of interview like this. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, and we do want to have you on again. Of course, our next guest will be coming on here shortly, and we do want to have you on again, and we want to stay in contact with you, and I'll send you that address where you can send a few autographs for our listeners for that thing I was telling you about, the big show in December. And we do appreciate you joining us. And, Chris, do you have anything for our guests before we let them go lift weights and have some Wheaties?
I think we're good.
Awesome. Well, we want to thank you for joining us, and you've been awesome. And I'll be in contact with you, and we'll definitely have you on again.
All right. Scott, Chris, thank you for letting me be on your guys' show tonight. I had a good time. Really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come on here and just tell the fans a little bit more about myself. I'll definitely be crossing, you know, your guys' path again here on your show at some point, hopefully.
We love
you,
man.
Hopefully.
Thank you. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, man.
And that's going to lead us into that's going to lead us into the second hour. We'll be back with you on the Attitude Hour Live.
Waiting to see if Maris is going to hit number 61. Here's the windup. The pitch to Roger, way outside, ball one. And the fans are starting to boo. Maris only has, including this time, three times at bat. And unless the Yankees get a rally, that's all he'll have to try and get number 61 on the year. The windup, the pitch, low, ball two. That one was in the dirt. And the boos get louder. Two balls, no strikes on Roger Maris. Here's the windup. Fastball hit deep to right. This could be it. Way back there.
Funny that you know we play this because I know 61 and 51 significantly different things, but I watched Aaron Judge. I was in attendance about last week, I believe it was a week ago today actually, when Aaron Judge hit 51, set the rookie record in Yankee Stadium. So a lot of history, and you know this upcoming guest very, very excited about. You know, we don't usually do this on a wrestling show. This is more like a guest we would have on my sports show during the day. But, again, very excited to have him. Icon did a heck of a job going out and doing the recruiting for this here. As you heard, that clip there was exactly as it was called by Phil Rizzuto in 1961. I played the Red Barber call earlier in the night. But, Icon, I'm going to go ahead and let you do this so we can have a little bit to talk about at the end in terms of wrestling. But I'll let you go ahead and do the introduction, if you will, and we will get a very special guest on the line here with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, he is the son of a legend. He is going to bring legendary status to our radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I give you probably the coolest baseball sun legend in history. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Roger Maris Jr. Hey, Roger, how are you?
Wow, Scott, that's quite a intro. Only the Icon could pull that off.
There you go.
Hey, he's very, very, very into his introductions. He gets very, very excited.
I see that. He's getting good.
So now to give everybody a little bit of a history, and then we have many questions that we're going to ask you. But for people that do not know this, the Icon and the Roger Maris family do have a history together.
Do they? What
fact,
is that?
What are we at? 37 years together
30,
now?
34 years.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I met Roger Jr. when I was 5 years old. I met Roger Maris when I was 5 years old, and they watched me grow up. They watched me grow out in weight, and they watched me bring it all back in the time that we've been together. And I hope Roger feels the same way, but in a way I feel like I'm kind of part of the family in some way.
Well, we see you every year, and you've been as big a supporter as we have for our celebrity golf tournament we have every year in Fargo, North Dakota. And it's always a pleasure to see Scott and his dad. His dad brought him out there, and he and his dad come out every year and support the tournament. And it's always great to see him.
So, Roger, as we know, the anniversary of your dad's legendary baseball feat was yesterday. Now, can you tell us where you were when your dad broke the record?
I was at home. I can't even tell you where I was because I was 3 years old in 61. I was born in 58. And, it's funny, I've never been asked that question, but I have no earthly idea where I was. I mean, I don't even know what even happened.
And for a lot of people that also that have possibly seen the movie 61 know that Roger had had a son born in the 61 season, August, and he is next to you, of course, Roger. He is probably my all-time favorite Roger Maris brother, and it's Randy Maris, who I saw this weekend. Had a chance to spend some time with him and talk to him during homecoming in the Bison football game. And, with all the goings on with the home run record back with Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, and most recently, how often do you get called to do interviews and go on sports shows and stuff to talk about your dad?
Well, there's people that call from time to time, and obviously depending on what's going on in the sport of baseball and what the stories are at that time. But there are times that it's busier than others, and obviously this year being a little bit busier with people hitting the home runs at the pace they're hitting them, and then obviously approaching 60 mark. I think it's a little more frequent than normal.
Now, when he ended this Santiago. No, what is his last name? I forgot. I can't think. He finished with 59 home runs. Yeah.
Talking about Stanton?
Yeah. Did they contact you about possibly coming out to the stadium if he was close to hitting 60 or 61? Did they contact you to do that?
No, we didn't hear from anybody on that.
Okay. All right. So
let me ask. This is probably an obvious question, from the Icon standpoint. But I mean, I don't know. So maybe it'll shed a little light on it. But why? I saw he was born. Your father was born in Minnesota. I gotta check the town again. It looked like Hibbing.
Minnesota.
But why did you choose Fargo, North Dakota, for the golf tournament? Of all places, I mean,
He was only born in Hibbing, and then he grew up in Fargo.
Okay, so that's probably that makes sense.
His funeral was in Fargo. He's buried in Fargo. There's a Roger Maris Cancer Center in Fargo. Roger Maris Drive in Fargo. Roger Maris Museum in Fargo. I mean, there's a lot going on with Roger Maris in Fargo. So
Icon, you never showed me any of this stuff. See, I'm from the way that this works, Roger, is we, you know, Icon dials in. The actual station here is in New York. It's actually up a little bit from the city, up by Albany, and it's an actual like sports talk, like ESPN affiliated sports talk radio station during the day, and then we get on and do this at night. So I've only been to Fargo once in my lifetime, and it was for the Maui Madness event that. I kind of invited me out to this past March, but really, yeah, I had no idea. Growing up, obviously, I was born in '88, and you know he passed away in '85, so I didn't ever really get I never got to actually watch him. But growing up as a Yankee fan, everybody knows the name, so I wouldn't have known that he was from Fargo. So that's good to me. That's good knowledge. I can use that trivia night at the bar and stuff.
Yeah, he grew up in. Yeah, so he grew up in Fargo right there, and that's where he spent all his high school years and all that kind of stuff. And so,
now, Hibbing is close by Fargo?
Well, Minnesota's, Fargo's right there on the border pretty much. And then, it's not far. Yeah.
And, Roger, you were born and raised in Gainesville, correct?
Actually, I was born in Independence, Missouri, because my dad played for the Kansas City Athletics at the time. And so I was born there, and then when he retired, we moved to Florida when I was 10, and I've been here ever since.
Now, you never lived in New York at all.
We did not.
Yeah, your father had decided that he didn't want to raise the family in New York. That was correct?
Well, it was more that we had already made some really, really good friends in Missouri, Whitey Herzog being one of them, who I don't know if you know who that is, but he was a baseball player and then manager, and now he's in the Hall of Fame for baseball. But anyway, he was good friends of our family, and we had some other good friends there. They had a good core group of people there, and, with Dad being gone playing all the time, they just felt it would be best to keep us there and keep the bond that we had there in Kansas City at the time.
Now, in your having the legendary father that you did, you as a kid obviously got to meet a lot of baseball legends at the time. You obviously have met Mickey Mantle several times. Is there any one legendary baseball player besides your father that you met that you were just like, wow, it's him? That you would say that?
They're all kind of wow in their own way. I mean, depending on
especially when you're a kid, you're very starstruck as a kid, meeting anybody.
Well, that's,
I mean, like I said, I'm 29 years old. If I met like an Aaron Judge or somebody like that right now for the Yankees, I'd be, I need a new change of pants. So, I mean, I can understand, Icon, your question as a kid. Obviously, they're all going to be like, wow, to a kid,
Yeah, the only difference is, I think, when you're around that, you don't really think like that because
you already
have access
to
a lot. well, you already have access to a lot of that stuff, and you kind of grow up in that environment, so you're not as in awe as you are maybe if you were, you know, like I'm running around clubhouses and I'm seeing these people, and to me that's just the way it is in life. And then if I'm a little kid and I'm in the stands and everybody's idolizing all these people, then obviously it's a different story. But to me, it just was kind of the way of life. I didn't really realize what was going on until you get older and you realize, wow, that was pretty incredible that I got to do all that. But, you know, in the moment, you're just in the moment and, you know, you're just doing what you do.
Now, we had made a collector's card for you with you and your dad. I believe you were – how old were you in that picture? Do you remember where that
10.
Picture was taken? You were 10. That was
in Busch Stadium.
In Busch Stadium. Now, you were playing a game called Pepper. Was that right?
Correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? What that entailed? Was that like a father-son game or just –
No, the ball players, baseball players do that when they're, you know, when they're kind of killing time. They'll get more than one guy, potentially could be two, three, four guys, and they throw the ball to the guy hitting it, and he hits it to the guy on the left, and he hits it to the next guy, and they kind of go around the horn back and forth. And you can play at different levels. You can hit them harder, softer, just however you were trying to do it. You know, but it's just kind of a little baseball game that has been going on since the beginning of time, I think.
So I want to ask you a little bit about the movie 61. Did they approach you to be part of the movie, or how did that come about?
Well, they didn't really approach us with it because we really couldn't do anything with it because we were in a lawsuit at the time with Anheuser-Busch, and so we couldn't get involved in any kind of movies or anything like that because we were in a defamation suit. So.
Okay.
So I guess to answer your question is no, they didn't consult us on that. They just pretty much did it.
So is there anything about the movie that's not accurate, or is it pretty much right on?
Well, I think it portrays, I think, the way it was. I mean, you know, because people ask that question, I don't know how much you've seen the movie and how much you know of the movie, but you know, there's a scene where like Bob Sir, Mickey, and my dad are sitting on a couch watching Maybe RFD, and they're all whistling to the, you know, the song of Maybe RFD. Well, like, I don't know if that really happened, but I mean, it could have happened, but just, you know, the way they had them all three sitting there and they're all whistling, having a good time. I mean, that might have happened, but, yeah, there's always things of fluff they throw in there, but I think the storyline and all that was pretty accurate, I believe.
You know, one of my favorite scenes in that movie is the I'm going to ask you about this because I never have asked you in all the years I've known you, I've never asked you this. There was a scene in the movie where they depicted Roger's special eggs, the thing is, they look green, and even Mickey Mantle wouldn't have any until your dad mentioned that he hit home runs eating them. Do you remember your dad's special eggs?
Yeah, well, what he would do is he would cook his bacon first, and then he would throw his eggs in on the bacon with all that grease. Super healthy.
Oh. Yeah, so is that why when your dad made breakfast, you guys always wanted to eat out? Is that true?
Actually, we all ate it. I mean, it was actually, you know, shoot, you throw bacon stuff in there and a bunch of grease, it probably tastes real good.
Awesome. So, Roger, tell us what exactly you keep busy with these days.
Well, I actually, it's funny you ask. I just launched a new company. I started an e-commerce store yesterday on October 1st, the anniversary of his 61st home runs. And basically I've got the company's name 61 Outfitters, and
mm-hmm.
the tagline is where the quest begins. And then I have three lines. I have a hunting line, which is home run hunting, and the tagline is quest to bag the best. And I have a fishing line, and it's Home Run Fishing, Quest to Catch the Best, and then I have a Circle Collection line, which is Quest to Be the Best. So, and pretty much that all came about from just, you know, being, you know, my dad got me into hunting and fishing and, you know, always put us on our quest to do the best we could at whatever we were to try to do things. And so it just all kind of came together. And then on the inside of all these hats that I've made, I have a picture of him with his 61 jersey, holding up the 61 jersey with the 61 home run ball. And the whole concept behind it is when you go to put on one of our hats, you pick up the hat, you look at my dad on the inside, and he's there for us because he's the one who inspired us. But we want people to look at that picture and think of the person that inspired them to be on their quest to be the best, whether it's hunting, fishing, or just life in general. And so that's the concept behind everything.
Well,
and that's at 61outfitters.com. Is the website that you can go to and check it out.
Now, I don't want to sound too forward here, but would you be willing to send us maybe a couple hats so we can give away to our listeners? We have we get 35,000 listeners a week, and one lucky fan always gets an autographed picture or a shirt or something from our guests. And we're wondering, would you be willing to send us maybe two hats so we can have for giveaways?
I could do that. I think I can make that happen.
Awesome.
The question
cool.
is, do you want a hunting hat, a fishing hat, or a circle collection hat? That would be the question.
Could you do
I'll give you one. I'll give you one of all three, and that way you can figure it out.
Awesome. And then what I'll do is I'll send you the address, so we'll send them, and then we'll do that. Now, since you know your father has passed away in 85, how many times have you gotten to go back to Yankee Stadium to honor your father?
There's been we've had different moments and occasions. Obviously, the 50th anniversary or the 61, we were there.
Yeah, I know they were there last year. Yeah, I watched that game.
That was the 55th, I think, they did last year. And the 50th was obviously 5 years before that. But then there was the Roger Maris bobblehead day, and then, there's been just different things they've done over the years. Like, we were there when they closed Yankee Stadium, when they opened the new Yankee Stadium, was there for the first World Series in Yankee Stadium. Try to get up there for different occasions. And, you know, sometimes when, and then obviously when they're honoring dad for certain things, I try to attend those too.
In the state you live in Gainesville, it's a little bit a ways away from where you are, but all over ESPN this year, all over our station, all over a lot of different places, the name chirps out Giancarlo Stanton, who this year a lot of people thought was going to break that. Now, we all know because, you know, the Bonds, McGuire, Socha thing, that it has been broken, but again, you know, there's that little asterisk next to that due to performance enhancements and whatnot. Maris still holds the record for American League hitter and for a Yankee to do that. But was there a lot of talk in the state of Florida? Because, I mean, Stan ended with 59, but a lot of people thought maybe he was going to reach the 60-plus mark this year, and obviously, you know, fell a little short. But was there a lot of talk in Florida about that, and does that still kind of maybe get to you a little bit when people start talking about, you know, oh, well, they're getting close to this record? Is it like an honor for you to say, oh, they're you know, he's getting close to Roger's record? Or is it kind of like, you know, at this point it's you're expecting it and it doesn't faze you?
Well, no, it's clearly an honor anytime somebody wants to talk about that. But, I mean, when I just came back from Colorado Springs, and I was with a buddy, and I was at his house, and we got in late, and we turned on SportsCenter, and that's after he broke the record with the Marlins by hitting his 45th home run. And then they asked him about the, what's his next goal or whatever. And he said, well, he'd like to, hit 62 or whatever. And then basically, said that growing up, he always looked at 60 and one as the number. And so he came out and said that. Now, to me, I mean, people are always telling me that, that, you know, the steroids were the steroids and your dad's, the, you know, the man, you know, whatever. And, you know, so, I mean, I think there's a court of public opinion out there who feel that dad has the record. And then there's other people, obviously, who don't feel that. And then there's obviously the record books that don't state that. So, but, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's a good discussion. And there's a lot of people who, like I say, do think he is the record holder. And it, yeah, it's an honor when people feel that way. And it makes you feel good that, that people still look at my dad in good light. And that's all good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
are you waiting patiently for that call from Cooperstown? For you know, Hall of Fame, like, I mean, I honestly, I'm shocked, and I live, you know, like I said, up near Albany. I went to school in Oneonta, New York, which is pretty much the next town over from Cooperstown, so I was there a lot. I mean, I worked for a minor league baseball team, you know, during the summers in college, an Oneonta team. They're no longer there, but they were, so I was in Cooperstown a lot, and it was kind of shocking to me that that name that I had grown up hearing, being a Yankee fan, wasn't there. I mean, are you guys, you know, patiently waiting that phone call? I mean, are you expecting to get one? Or I mean, because it's got to be, if it were me, I would, and again, everyone's different personality-wise, but if it were me, I'd be a little salty after what he did that he's not there.
Well, I don't ever want to look at it like that. I mean, the way I look at it is, you know, if things are meant to be, they're meant to be. Do I think he should be in the Hall of Fame? With yes, I do. I think he's got the credentials that should put him in there.
Yeah.
You know, is he the best player?
Yeah.
Well, is he the best player to ever play the game? No. But if you look at the Hall of Fame, and if you're somebody who can sit there and analyze every little thing, show me the worst guy, the last guy who should be in the Hall of Fame, whoever that guy is, and put dad's stats up next to his stats, and I think it will be a no-brainer that he should be in there. But, you know, you know, because the way, you know, you look at all that stuff, I mean, you know, and you're obviously a sports guy, you pay attention to all that stuff, but when people talk about the Hall of Fame, you know, they always go, well, they always start with the top, and they always say, you know, well, did he lay his mark on the game? All right, well, he clearly did because he hit 61 home runs, and no one else has done that in the history of the game except for the steroid guys that did. And then you say, okay, well, he was a back-to-back MVP. Well, there's only a handful of back-to-back MVPs that have ever played the game. So he clearly laid his mark on the game. And then people always want to say, well, yeah, but did he ever win? Was he a winner? You know, did he ever win a World Series? Well, from 1960 to 1968, he played in 7 World Series, and he won 3 of them, and he batted third on those teams. So there's a whole decade there that he was obviously doing pretty well. And then the other thing the other thing they always say is like, well, yeah, but could he field? Well, Dad was a Gold Glove outfielder. All right, and then, you know, and then if you just keep going down the line, but then they always get to the, and I don't know how much you follow this, but the two things they always say is that he only batted 260. So, because if you look at all the things that people
that
talk about,
yeah, that shouldn't matter though with everything else. Yeah.
Well, you say it shouldn't, but what if I told you that there's people in the Hall of Fame that batted 260?
True. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean,
no, but I'm saying
to me,
you say it doesn't matter. Maybe it should matter, but if people are already in the Hall of Fame that batted 260, then that shouldn't be a knock. But if you talk to people, they're usually going to say, well, he only had one good year, which is not true because he was a seven-time All-Star. He was a Gold Glover. He was, played in 7 World Series, you know, had the MVPs, blah, 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 la-di-da, la-di-di. But the big knock has always been he's a 260 hitter. And then they'll say, and he only hit 275 home runs. Well, my point is 260 is worthy of the Hall of Fame because there's people in there at 260. I mean, Reggie Jackson was, I think, 263. And there's other people that are 260.
Something like that, yeah.
And, you know. But my point is that shouldn't be a deterrent. It might not be one of his accolades, but it shouldn't be a deterrent. Then they say 275 home runs. There's a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame that haven't hit 275 home runs. And then you got then you got to look at that. He only played 12 years. You know, and then you take certain – so some of these guys are playing 20 years. So, you know, Dad has hurt a bunch of those years. So, but bottom line is, I mean, this is one of those things where I think he just gets labeled as a one-year wonder. And I hear that all the time where people go, well, he only had that one good year. And, you know, if you really look at it, what he accomplished, that's not an accurate statement. But.
Right.
No, it's not. And, you know, a lot of times, like nowadays, people don't – and I run into this on my sports show a lot when I reference – you know, guys who were back in the day, people don't necessarily do the research. I mean, they look at what qualifies for something like that based on what they see every day now. And the game is different. I mean, face it, the game has changed. Baseball at its core is still the same, but the game has evolved and adapted, and there are things about it now that people value more. And, you know, when somebody, you know, is not in your recent memory bank, you know, you might look at it and say, oh yeah, he hit the 61 home runs. You know, what else did he do? And people don't want to do the research on it. But I mean, like you said, every point you just pointed out, is clear cut. I mean, in my opinion, and I'm not just saying this cause you're on the line with us, in my opinion, based on everything that you just said, should have been first ballot, in my opinion. So, I mean, because there are guys with less stats.
Even if he wasn't first ballot, I think, you know, and I would never say that he should have been first ballot.
I will. I'll say it for you.
Well,
I think he should have been. Because,
I mean, I just think my philosophy is, and your question was, do I think he should be in the Hall? I don't want to say he's in the top, but I guarantee if you draw the line at the very bottom and you do an analyze and tell me who – based on whatever everyone comes up with is the last guy that should have been inducted in the Hall of Fame, put Dad next to that guy and he should be in. That's how you would look at it.
For sure. For sure.
Right. So, and the thing is, knowing your family like I do, and you guys know me, I remember, you know, the home run chase with McGuire and Sosa and all that. And it did hit my heart though, when the record did fall, and I've told you about that many times, that it should have not been broken by someone that was cheating. That's just my opinion. But and I know there'll be some backlash on my statement on that, but they did cheat by adding performance-enhancing drugs and all that. So that's why, to me, you know, your father's record will always be 61, and I'm not just saying that because I know you and I know your family, and you guys know me. It's just the way it is, and that's the way it's always going to be.
And Icon, on your point, which is tough there, it kind of sucks with everything that had happened because, you know, with Roger hitting it the way he did, and back in the day, you know, that just was unheard of. They didn't have these. That, you know, that kind of scandal thing just didn't happen. So him hitting it clean, then you get those three guys, all of which have been indicted on the steroids. Now, when I say that the game has changed, people don't look at it anymore as, you know, athletic talent or ability or raw power or just being a great hitter. People look at it as, well, he must be juicing, which kind of takes away from really any baseball player's accomplishments. And I'll bring Aaron Judge back into this for a second because, again, you know, we carry the Yankees on our station here and all that, and I get this all the time. Well, you know, Judge has to be on something. Well, no, he's 6'7", 290. He doesn't have to be on anything. You know, the guy's a monster. But people always jump to that now. They don't look at, you know, guys like Roger Maris get overlooked now, unfortunately, because everyone looks at the bar that was set by McGuire, Sosa, and Bonds, and then everything come crashing down with the whole steroid thing. Even Big Poppy, who was in the Mitchell report but never actually got indicted for it, everyone, I think, is general consensus that he was on something as well, and so it's kind of a shame that like you mentioned, that the record had to be broken with that type of a scandal, because now people go straight to that. That's the first thing. Anytime somebody does something unbelievable in the sport of baseball, it's, well, you might want to check him out. And it's kind of a shame that it's come to that. But, hey, you know what?
Right.
Sometimes one person ruins it for everybody, you know, unfortunately sometimes. But, you know, for me,
well,
yes, I definitely think 61 is the bar. It's the record I've always grown up with. I mean, I was young when they hit theirs as well, but being a Yankee fan, the only Yankee ever to do it, and being a Yankee fan, being the only American League hitter ever to do it, still is deeply ingrained as well in me. So that's always going to be something that's there.
Well, we got a few more minutes left here with Roger.
Sure.
There's one thing that we always have all our guests do. We have them cut a little liner promo for us, and we're hoping that you'll be able to do that for us. Basically, it is, you know, say, hey, this is Roger Maris Jr. You're listening to Attitude Era Live with the Icon and the Big Swing, and you can add a little finesse to it if you want, and we'll do a couple takes if we need to, and I'll count you down from five, and then we'll see how that goes. What do you think?
This is after the show?
No, right now.
Okay, well, I need to – what am I saying again?
Okay, you're saying that. Hey, this is Roger Maris Jr. You're listening to the Attitude Era Live with the Icon and the Big Swing, and then anything else you want to say after that, and then we'll record it, and we'll use it for the next week, month, year, decade, because our show is going all the way to the top, and you're helping propel us.
All right, so what is the name of the show?
Attitude Era Live.
Edit like EDIT.
No, attitude.
Attitude. Like the personality.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, attitude, and what's the rest of it?
Era Live.
Attitude Era, ERA Live.
Yep. With the Icon and the Big Swing.
Hey, this is Roger Maris with the Icon and the Big Swing at Attitude ERA Live.
Right. Perfect.
I like that, actually. I like that he spelled it out. That was interesting. I'm going to use that. Well, basically, Roger, what that's for is obviously I'm sure you listen to sports radio and stuff down there in Gainesville, you know, coming out of the local commercial breaks and whatnot, you know, we're going to put the clips in, you know, the night that the show is being rerun. And you know, all day long after the local breaks and after the station IDs and all that, your liner is going to come up and people are going to go, oh, geez, you know, so-and-so is on tonight and whatnot. Yours is actually good because it's relevant for sports as well, so we can use it all the time instead of just using it on the nights that you know, the show's being rerun. So overall, that was good. I'm with that, and it was unique and it was different, and it's, you know, like I said, the voice of the son of a legend. So I'm totally down with it.
So are we still on air or off air?
No, we are. We are still on for another couple of minutes here before Monday Night Football ends and gives me the boot. Because the Monday Night Football coverage guys got to come in here in a minute. So, yeah. Soon as Monday Night Football ends, Scott, I know what they're going to do. They're going to come in and kick me out because, fortunately, we're the low guys in the totem pole right now. So.
So how long have you guys had your show now?
2 years now.
Icon's been with us a little over a year, and we've been doing the wrestling show almost two. And yeah, I've been in the sports radio business, you know, going almost close to 10. But yeah, we've just started doing the online aspect and the online facet of it pretty recently. Because, you know, we like the ability to have the entire country or world or whoever being able to listen instead of just the general FM area. And, you know, I mean, we get calls from Texas and Minnesota and Florida and California all the time. And you know, whereas instead of just the Albany, New York area. So that's why we started this up about 2 years ago. And it's been going ever since. It's been good, you know. And tonight was commercial free. Usually we have commercials and breaks and all that normal stuff you would hear. But tonight, you know, obviously with the double guest, we changed up the format a bit. But
so you guys,
yeah,
you guys
Icon,
go on every night.
Every night,
what time
PM
you guys
Eastern.
Go
For the wrestling show, 10 p.m. Eastern. 10 to around 11:30, give or take, Eastern time. And then my normal sports show
is 10.
Yeah. The Attitude Era was a time period in the late 90s where WWF just completely exploded with ratings and whatnot. And it's the general consensus is everybody that's around my age, which is 29, that's their favorite time period in wrestling. That's when Stone Cold and The Rock and Mankind, Undertaker, and all those guys were in their prime. So that's sort of what we named it after. It used to be called Off the Ropes until we found out that was trademarked. But then my sports show is 10 a.m. to noon every day, and then a special one on Fridays that goes from 12 to 1. But this particular show is every Monday. If we get lucky enough, like it looks like we might tonight with this game going into overtime, usually we can extend it to midnight. But usually it's about 11:30 to kick us out of here. So.
And
okay. So to follow to follow your show, you would go to what? You would just Google.
It would go to local commercial. No, it would go after the show. It would go to a local commercial break, and then whatever the programming, whatever the company satellite programming is.
Well, what they can do to listen to our show is they go to Facebook. They type in Off the Ropes because Facebook won't let us change it to Attitude Era Live for some crazy reason. I'm still battling with
that. I'm sure there's a way to do it. I got to look into doing it, but I'm sure there's a way.
There's a link that they click on, and they can go to all the shows and listen to past shows and listen live. And Roger, with all the years you've known me, you know I've always was going to be famous, and I'm getting there. Of course, I always have been kind of. You know, and
in your area, you have been for a while, yes.
Right, and it's like the tournament. We'll talk about this real quick, and then we'll let you go. But the tournament is usually the last weekend of June every year since 1985, running concurrent, and I remember years and years and years going all over the golf course, running around, getting autographs. And every year I always have, your family sign my program, and you know that. Let's see how good I am. Let's see. There's Susan Maris. There's Roger Jr. There's Randy Maris. There's Kevin Maris. There's Sandra Maris, and there's Richard Maris, and of course your lovely mother Pat Maris, who will always has a special place in my heart. I love your mom. For 2 days out of the summer, of course I've never told her this, but 2 days out of the summer she's like my mom too. You guys are like my second family. I hope you guys feel the same way. I know I can be a pest sometimes, but, I always love you guys. And, it's just sad that I only get to see you guys 2 days once a year,
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to let me know when that
there.
Is. I'll come
We're
out for it.
Out.
Yeah, go ahead, Roger. Go ahead.
No, he just said they're in and out. He said it doesn't last very long. They come in for the tournament and they're out. That's what he said. You gotta let me know when that goes on, because I'll definitely come out for that as well. I mean, and hopefully at a golf tournament the weather will be a little nicer, because you dragged me up there in March this year and it felt like January in Antarctica. So I'm hoping the weather's a little better.
Well,
it's always gonna be windy.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about, knowing these guys and going to the tournament every year, we couldn't this last year, but there's been several times I've gotten a picture with the entire family, and one of the last cool pictures that I've taken with the family, they actually cut Roger's head off on the picture.
Oh, geez.
That's probably a good thing.
Well, no. The sad thing is, I had to I had to find another picture with you wearing that exact same shirt, and I kind of pasted you in. I kind of photoshopped you in.
I was photoshopped, huh? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, so basically what it looks like you're kind of like peeking over the picture because you're so tall.
Well, Icon goes above and beyond when he wants to do something. So it's it's dedication. It's dedication. But Icon, I've got the Chiefs just got into. Oh, wait a minute, he fumbled. And tell me, I was gonna say it looks like it's gonna be a victory here for them, but I don't know if that's gonna be a catch or not. So, but anyways, so yeah, I mean, I ask for questions or how many questions we would have or you know things. I mean, there would be so many. You know, stories and things that I would just be like a sponge and would love to know. Like I said, especially being a New Yorker, being a Yankee fan, you know, we'd be here till 6 a.m. knowing it all. So obviously, Icon, you know, I'm gonna have to show some self control and cut it short. But I mean, did you have anything else for Roger or because I think we're gonna get the boot here in a minute.
Yeah, well, I will say this. During the tournament in June, Roger is the best golfing Marist. That is true.
Well, that's good. Junior.
Yeah.
It's always good to publicize that.
Well, wait, you told me not to tell anybody. Okay. But, yeah, so, Roger, we do appreciate you joining us, and I'll send you that address where to send those two for our giveaways, and you know, we do appreciate you joining us, taking out a time in your busy schedule to join us. And you are awesome, and I can't wait to see you in June.
All right. As always, good talking with you, Icon. And then, Chris, nice talking with you, and we'll be in touch.
Yep, you as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And Icon, it was good to be able to get Roger Jr. on with us. Always great there. A little bit unusual ending to the show tonight. Usually we have a wrestler on or we're talking about the end of Raw or whatnot, but we will cover that next week. You were listening to Attitude Era Live. We'll see you next Monday, Icon. And
Dead Man Walking.
You've done it now.
You've gone and made a big mistake.
And I can't allow
you to think you can just walk away.